Are you a good witch or a bad witch?
Hello and welcome to Witch Bitches Review. I'm so wet that I drowned from the inside. Phoenix Arcana Lightwood.
And this sucks. I want to go swimming. I'm Siren Rex Fry. And this is a podcast where two actual witches analyze and review representations of witchcraft in media and pop culture. And today we have a special guest.
I'm the hot, greasy neighbor, but Kellogg's knows that I'm also a serial killer. Kevin!
I want you to be my hot, greasy neighbor. Shit.
Honestly, mood.
Welcome back, our friend Kevin.
Welcome Hello, back. I'm so excited. I love you guys.
Well, we love you too.
And we love you, bitch.
For those of you that maybe don't know you yet, Kevin, do you want to remind all of our listeners who you are?
I'm Kevin. I go by KGZ87 on Instagram, where I have lots of sexiness happen.
That's for sure.
Yeah. But I'm also like a massive Charmed fan, crazy person. And I have a podcast called Words of the Witches. Oh, and X-Men one called Solve Me for X, because I do X-Men too. Mostly Charmed, because that's my thing.
Today we are discussing Charmed Season 2, Episode 8, P3H2O. This episode originally aired on December 9th, 1999, and rated 8.1 out of 10 on IMDb. It was written by Chris Levinson and Zach Estrin, and directed by John Baring. So I watched this on Peacock, and the Peacock description of this episode is just, Prue must destroy a water demon at summer camp. There's no details at all.
Because once again, Prue has to do everything.
It's all about Prue.
I actually really like this episode. I like this episode a lot. I think this is pretty good. Season 2. It's got family stuff. Shot on location. I really like this one.
I've always loved this episode. There's some things that irk me, which we'll get into, but for the most part, it's got a lot of great things going for it. They have the heart down, and this team of writers, they do a lot of the really good episodes. So I think Zach Estrin actually died this past year, sadly, but
I love this episode. I found myself, while I was preparing for this one, to just really get lost in the story of what was happening. Like, I was trying to take notes and be a witch bitch about it, but I just couldn't.
It's so good. I've cried so many times watching this again.
Have you found, I mean, this is probably a question for later in the episode, but have you found that your relationship to this episode has changed since you lost your mother?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think I'm more sensitive to it, because I can see remnants of grief in these characters more than I could before. And before, I just kind of like had like a feeling that they had it, but now I can like understand it. So it definitely had changed the way I watch it.
It's more like empathy than sympathy now. I feel that way anytime I watch certain episodes of Buffy that have to do with the loss of parents. That's like heavy hitter. This one doesn't hit me quite the same way as when they went back in time and saw their mom. This one for me, and I think the reason is, it's kind of like a more practical reason. It's that Patty doesn't say anything in this episode. Both That's times true. That she's on screen, she's silent and dead. Like,
yeah, pretty much.
It's all about the emotion of the other characters, whereas like connecting more to the like, oh, these are things that I never had with my mom thing gets to me a little bit more.
But I think that's part of what makes it even more impactful, because she doesn't say anything. She's almost like a memory, and she's, you know, you can get the feeling of her there, but you can't quite hear her, you can't quite grasp her, and that makes it really powerful.
I completely agree with that.
So our episode opens with Prue being all pensive at the lake and having traumatic flashbacks about her mom dying when she was a little girl. Yikes. Did you guys notice the little girl playing her is the same actress from that 70s episode who played her in the past?
I did notice that.
That is Emily Thompson. She will also come back for We All Scream for Ice Cream.
She does now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, how great.
She does. In the flashback in the ice cream truck with her dad.
So she was young Prue in all three seasons. So if Prue hadn't, or rather, if Shannon hadn't left, would we may have like seen more?
I think that might be the most continuity this show's ever had.
Right. And the thing is, I hear this criticism a lot too, because like, if we, like the Forever Charmed, like if we couldn't have had Shannon, you could have had a past Prue. Make this girl come back as like some teenage Prue. And we could have seen her then. If they're going into the past anyway, you know, that would have been
true.
Cool.
We saw stupid past Phoebe. So like,
yeah. Yeah. And we had Grams talking to a past Piper in that episode. Like,
that's a really, really good point. My question is, I guess it's a two-parter question about this opening scene where she's having these flashbacks of her mother's death. And it's about the day of Patty's death. Like, did she take Prue with her to the demon vanquish, or was Prue already there, like, at camp? Because either way, I don't think this is a safe location for one's spawn.
It doesn't really make sense for her to be there.
No. And, well, it doesn't make sense for anybody to be there, really, because this is a summer camp. Patty died February 28th, 1978. This is the middle of winter.
What the hell is going on? I mean, I guess, do they have camp in February in California?
Yeah, I don't know California winters. Who knows? But
well, I mean, it is like, it's San Francisco, so it's the northern part of California. I think it would still be pretty cold.
Yeah. No one's going to be swimming in the water.
Phoenix noted this episode came out in December, too.
Yes, it did. It came out in December, and it's a summer episode?
Yeah.
What
very
the
bizarre.
What the fuck? And then, like, wait, it's summer now, and then two episodes from now, it's fucking Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
That's true. That's true. That's really true. What's going on? Charmed in time. I've told you before. My question is, why does that man pick her up and say, I'm going to take you inside. You shouldn't see your dead mom. And then he takes like five steps and then sets her back down. And he's like, well, I'll abandon you. Keep looking at your dead mom.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Super traumatizing, though. Like, I didn't think about it so much when I first watched this, but I'm like, oh, I can't even imagine. Like, seeing that happen.
Oh my god, yeah, no, it's like super duper not chill.
It would be devastating. It would be devastating.
Yeah. It's awful. It's awful. It's like, it's such a big deal that her mom died. Like, I'm not making light of that at all.
Well, that's different. Is this not going to be a dead mom joke episode? I have no idea what I'm getting into.
It's going to be from me. I just like... I don't know. There's some logistical errors in the day of Patty's death that do not make sense to me. Modern day Prue is crying in a crop top, and honestly, like, same.
Relatable. Every time I put one on, girl.
Piper then calls her, and Prue lies through her teeth and deflects by making fun of Piper and her clingy ass relationship.
I'm on the freeway. How's your boy?
Her clingy relationship is weird, though. I don't like it either.
Oh, Prue, you're potentially missing on the freeway. Sorry, I gotta go get some dick. Bye.
Sounds like every phone call you and I have ever had.
I definitely did go hook up with someone after we stopped talking yesterday.
Oh, good for you. I should have done that.
So she tries to walk out to the end of the dock, but stops just barely over the water when a random park ranger man gets knocked out of his boat by a jacuzzi demon. Prue is stopped by a crazy old man who says, don't worry about him. He's going to die no matter what you do. And then he disappears into the sound of folly footsteps.
Ta-da!
And then the opening credits happen.
I am the sun. I am the air.
Or, alternatively, if you watch it anywhere else, it's just random music.
Yeah, losing the theme song is kind of sad.
I don't watch it on streaming. I only watch it on my medias, so...
Thank you very much.
Sometimes it's just more convenient to watch it on Peacock. I'm sorry.
Well, you know what I did is I uploaded all of my episodes from my Blu-ray onto my computer so I can just put it on my computer easy.
That is an idea that you would have.
I still have the same DVDs that I bought like when they were coming out.
Oh my
god.
I
have those too. They're over there. I have like every box that ever came out of the Charmed. I have the whole series like 12 times over, but it's fine. Yeah.
I have the ones that come in the two separate boxes, and it's like seasons 1 to 4 and then seasons 5 to 8.
The opening song is Angels Would Fall by Melissa Etheridge.
Yes.
It's a banger.
The real song.
Lesbian icon Melissa Etheridge, I should say.
Angels Would Fall. You know, yeah. Angels Would Fall is a jam. So
I always talk about this, but the music sets the time period for me.
It really
I love
does.
Melissa Etheridge.
So Fionnuala Hughes, we talked about this. She guest stars, even though she doesn't have a line. But she has a decent amount of screen time.
Her mug is on screen quite a bit in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely think it's good that she's there. It feels a little bit like maybe they just could only shoot with her for like one day for a couple hours or something, maybe. And they just had to, because both, you know, one of her scenes probably what, green screen? And then the other mm-hmm. one is just her on the dock. Yeah. I'm glad she's in it though.
Yeah, for sure.
It's the episodes where it's like sad mom stuff are always a little bit more palatable when Patty is there, when we like get to like interact with her.
That's one thing I dislike about From Fear to Eternity, because she's like in the blackness. You can't see your face. It's some other actress.
Oh, yeah. Some not Finola Hughes, who is just not, no one else.
And
can
it's not even, not even her voice, because she hasn't been cast yet. but then in season 5, when Piper's on the water, she's like, oh, here I am, shiny and gold and shimmering. I'm Finola.
You know, dead mom talking to you in the water again.
I got a new hairstyle. It's fine. We have the best salon in the afterlife. Yeah, then we have Piper and Dan again. They're annoying and in love.
Or at least in puppy lust with each other.
The narrating what I'm doing with my breakfast food?
Not about it. No, that's
like, I can probably already hear your mouth noises chewing over the phone, Piper.
And she's like, why do you eat that stuff? I'm eating my organic oats and you're eating your Fruit Loops.
You know what? Dan probably thinks that Fruit Loops are all different flavors.
Just like Piper thinks that nagging her boyfriend is charming.
Prue does some more deflecting after she busts in about what a lying bitch she is. And then she lies to her sister some more just before she encounters some sexism in the work.
Brief little conversation where they go over the stakes. Camp is reopening, of course.
Of course it is.
Yeah, we couldn't just have the one guy die. The water demon is now going to eat like 500 kids unless Prue does something about it.
Yeah, the summer camp is reopening just before Christmas. Whatever will we do?
Exactly.
That makes perfect sense. Shoddy business model.
Truly. But they do have kind of an intense conversation. Prue is in denial that this has anything to do with Patty. And Piper and Phoebe are both kind of like, you are stupid. Of course this has everything to do with mom. And then Prue just like gallivants off like nothing happened. She's in total denial.
It's like they want her to like take a minute and have an emotional breakdown, like, right. And they want to like deal with that before they go deal with the demon, which I suppose makes sense. But Prue is like, nah, we'll do that later.
But Prue is being her Capricorn self.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. 100. Now.
Deflecting.
The next scene with Jack. Does anyone else find Jack incredibly annoying?
Yes.
He's like maybe my least favorite love interest in the entire show. I just...
Absolutely. He's just... Yeah.
I hate
him. He's annoying, but I kind of like him. I like him with Prue. I don't think they like made the Prue-Jack dynamic to be like, this is the guy for her. They just wanted to give her some like cute twink to abuse for a couple episodes. And,
right.
You know, that's what she does. She just treats him like crap and it's funny.
Like, he's a fine like work husband, I guess, but not like an actual love interest.
He would be my work husband, not my husband. Like, you like him at work and then he loses his job and he wants to like go to the bar still and you're like, eh, I don't know, Jack.
I don't know. You're a poor now.
Yeah.
So he's a bit of an ass about Prue's outfit, but to be fair, she is in her crop top era right now. And what I mean by that is that there is an episode very soon from now where it's what she wears the entire episode is all crop tops the whole time.
I think it's funny that like he says, and that's acceptable work attire. I think that's hilarious. We've been saying about that her for months.
Right. I mean, oh
that
my
is
gosh.
Very true. But when it comes from Lachlan Monroe, it just something about it makes me like upset.
Right. But she started it.
She did start it. She's like, I can wear what I want. He's like, you come in looking like that. Whoa. Like, it's very skeezy. And that's why it's like, okay.
Yeah, no, it's that. It really is that. It's that he's like, to her.
It is more of the same. Like, he's like trying to bang her and like she's acting like she don't want it. But we got to come to this realization that, you know, she does want it.
The things he's wearing are not sexualized. It's just a pair of shorts and some flip flops. Like, that's not sexy.
Like, no. You need to come to work in a jock strap. That is what I want.
I'd have been all right with that. I gotta interrupt you though, because I totally dig a guy in basketball shorts.
These were like beach shorts, so they were even basketball shorts. They were like,
yeah, they weird. Were like swimming trunks.
Yeah, like it's not the same. If he's not wearing basketball shorts and no underwear and flopping around, fine.
That's
then
great.
You get a pass.
But I'm sorry. If your shorts have a mesh liner, not sexy.
No.
Not sexy.
We spent a lot more time on that than I thought we would, but it's
me too. Up at the lake, Piper and Phoebe are chatting to Betty Crocker about how many people have died at her fucking camp. And how it's probably all this creepy old man Sam's fault somehow.
I know, she's so like, yeah, I know, another person drowned. Weird, right? Unconnected. But I think this guy who lived out here is a serial killer.
Right.
No, I didn't tell the cops. I just reopened the camp.
Like, I'm sure he won't be a problem. He just like hangs around every once in a while.
To detract from, you know, the suspicion of murder, Piper's outfit is so ugly. She looks bad in this episode. I don't think there's a single outfit that she wears that looks good. That fucking ugly ass little like thin cardigan, what is that even doing, Piper? It's December.
This is Piper's dump truck fashion era for sure. But you're right, I really hate this one. It's like dark gray pants with a black cardigan and just like a white t-shirt. I don't know why.
Yeah.
It's like it's laundry day and she had to go to the bodega.
She's like, I got men's, it doesn't matter what I look like.
You know, that's a good point.
She dresses like trash this whole episode and has two dudes fighting over her. So, work queen.
Yep.
She gets rashy, too. She's like, hey, look at my arm rash. And these boys are like, Piper's arm rash brings all the boys to the yard.
Prue shows back up at the lake. And I want to know why she changed her clothes. Did she go back home to do that? Or did she have a spare white crop top in her car that she felt the need to swap into? What happened?
Well, she was at home. She went home to be in denial with her sisters and put on a different crop top. I gotta put on my demon fighting crop top.
People are dying. Why did you change your clothes? Make it make sense. Explain it to me.
So even though she just saw him, Jack calls her to be in the episode again, to basically tell her that he's just going to do her job for her from now on.
Mr. Fujimoto wants to talk to me.
And she's like pissed about that, but I don't know. It seems like it works out. She gets to hunt demons. Her secretary boy does her job for her. Ideal arrangement. She should make him her work husband.
Honestly, this happens like pretty consistently throughout this season with Pruitt Buckland's, of her just like not doing her job and Jack doing everything for her,
which I think is actually works out because she quits. She realizes that she doesn't want to be at her job anymore, so she quits shortly after. So it's all coming
that
together.
Is very true. It just kind of like sucks that it just sucks that she's so successful all the time.
I know,
because people do shit for her all
like,
the
why
time.
Do you get away with this?
Yeah.
It's not fair.
We all have that coworker.
So Prue does some more deflecting because she doesn't want to end up like her mom. And I have some news for you, sis.
Well, sorry about it.
It's happening.
Well, there is one thing that Patty did that Prue didn't do, and it's have four kids. Prue did the smart thing and skipped straight ahead to death.
While she's deflecting, they do actually have a really genuine conversation, and Prue is super concerned that she's just gonna die, and that, like, you know, it sends her in this sort of like existential spiral of being like, well, what if nothing I do means anything because these same mistakes are happening, the same pattern is repeating, all the while they're being spied upon by a man in the bushes.
What a homeless, like, really?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I'm like, what are you doing? Stop. Stop being a creeper.
He has a home, Kevin. It's a shed.
A shed. She shed. He shed.
Siren has a she shed.
I do have a she shed. I made it so I could smoke pot in there without my neighbors seeing me.
Oh, look at you. So smart.
Mrs. Johnson gets drowned by an overhydrated water zombie while the charmed ones are fucking about in Sam's cabin.
Mrs. Johnson being Betty Crocker. I didn't know she had a real name.
And she's like, that boat is dinging. It's hitting the deck. I need to go check on it. Ah! Like, she's attacked by the water zombie. The water demon possesses its victims.
This is crazy, though. Who is this person?
It's the park ranger from the beginning.
Is it?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I don't know. I guess I just, like, why wouldn't they at least show you that? Because you can't really tell. And it just, to me, looked like a random wet guy in a business suit.
Yeah.
Right. I don't get it.
Did you notice there's this weird thing that happens, and I don't really know how to like put my finger on it. There's this weird thing that happens in that scene with Betty Crocker and the water zombie, where it like he goes to jump out of the water, and then it cuts to a shot of her really quickly, of her on the dock with him behind her, and then back to him jumping out of the water.
Oh.
This really weird, like, kind of mix up in the editing and the cut, but it's like he's on the dock and then he's in the water and then he's on the dock again. It's really strange.
I didn't notice that one, but that's not the only thing like that in this episode, because I got one of those later. I just think the whole thing is weird. As soon as like the business suit guy jumps out of the water, I guess I'm just not really afraid of the water demon anymore. I'm just like, that's just a dude.
He's wet and looks clammy, but it's just a guy.
Phoebe makes a stupid joke that makes no fucking sense in context while they go snooping in Sam's shack. Yeah, this is her Elmer Fudd joke, right? She's like, be very quiet. We hunting demon. Like, we're hunting
demon.
It's not cute. Like,
but it's not Elmer Fudd either, because it's just Alyssa Milano baby voice again.
Baby voice. Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't make any fucking sense.
Yeah.
What is that joke?
I hate it.
You know, it's probably that. Do you remember we were talking about like their clumsy trying to be Buffy, trying to be pop culture shit? They probably just thought it was a pop culture joke, but they couldn't relate it to anything. So they just dropped it in there like it was funny.
Right.
Yeah. Like, where's Bugs Bunny? Yeah. Where's the carrot? Yeah. Where is your like comically large rifle? What's happening? They're looking for some incriminating facts, mm-hmm. facts and figures, pills and potions. She's overdosing.
Piper finds some letters.
Piper finds some letters, and she also finds a teaching certificate.
Sam Wilder. That's his last name. You learn it. Don't forget it.
Wild cats everywhere. Throw your hands up.
Exactly.
But Leo shows up to explain that Sam was indeed Patty's white lighter. And I don't know how they didn't like put two and two together when they found her picture.
Probably thought he was like a stalker.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we are thinking right now that he's a serial killer. So that makes sense. Yeah. So Phoebe and Piper are trying to place a lot of blame on Sam about the situation without a whole lot of evidence.
Not cool.
Which I think is just, I mean, it's, I guess it makes sense, like wanting to blame someone as a part of the anger process of grief, right? So like,
I think it's natural.
Yeah.
I think it makes a lot of sense that they would lash out to like the person that was with her when she died, right?
The person who was supposed to keep her alive.
Exactly. I mean, it just adds another layer to this really emotional, grief-stricken part of this episode. I know that Prue is in denial about everything, but I think she's also the only one being rational about the problem that's at hand. Piper and Phoebe are kind of focusing a little bit too much on the emotional part of it, and then Prue kind of not enough. Working out some of their trauma with Sam is what helps like get them to a middle point.
That is a good analysis of what's going on. I think so too.
Absolutely. The charmed ones are almost get drowned by a jacuzzi demon, Mrs. Johnson zombie. But Sam babbles like a psychopath just in the nick of time. Prue can't get on the dock. Oh,
she
no.
She can't. Which is, I mean, I think it's the thing is that we need her to have her emotional breakdown so that she can go on the dock, and she can't kill the demon until she can do that.
She's frozen in fear.
Yeah.
She is. She has this moment where she's ready. She's ready to help. She's running to try to help save Mrs. Johnson water zombie. Yeah. And she just stops. And Piper and Phoebe have no way to know that Mrs. J is possessed by the jacuzzi demon. Then all of a sudden, Sam is like, nah, bro, bro, get off my lawn. Exactly like that.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he does.
But it begs the question, do you think she stopped because she was suspicious, or did she stop because she was still having like trauma from the water?
Trauma. Kevin, I want to say, never a wrong time for a Barbas impression. So I love that. But you bringing that up made me think, like, yeah, she really is like facing her worst fear here, right?
Right.
It's almost kind of stupid they didn't mention that this is canonically her worst fear. What a great chance to have continuity and squander it.
Right.
Well, I mean, they had the same kid. How much can you really expect from them?
So, you know how the water demon sent out business suit zombie to kill Betty Crocker? It could do that again, but this time it just sort of like shoots up fountains of water at them, sort of menacingly, like the end of Splash Mountain. And they run away, and then they get to the end of the dock and they're like,
you may get soaked.
Oh, fuck, I got wet, you know?
Yep.
I think maybe the water demon didn't like Piper's outfit either. He was gonna drown her, and then he was like, oh, honey, get your fast fashion Temu clothes out of my lake.
Anyway, Siren, do you want to tell us a little bit about water killing monsters?
I'd love to.
I can't think of a million reasons. You're myth taken.
Okay.
Oh my god, I love that. Your cute little dance. I am in love with you. Not a joke, just a fact.
Wrong.
I can't think of a million reasons. Mm-hmm. You're myth taken.
Untrue.
You're myth taken. That is not correct.
Welcome to You Must Be Myth Taken, the part of the show where we call out the wild inaccuracies and misrepresented figures, features, and creatures in mythology. Let's talk about water monsters and demons who drown people. There's a bunch of this stuff from all over the place. What comes to mind for you guys?
So the first thing that came to mind for me was like sirens, obviously.
That makes sense.
People into the water. I was also thinking about like La Llorona.
Oh.
Kidnap unbaptized children to drown them. Yeah. La Llorona.
Yeah. I didn't think about her. What a bitch.
I don't know. I appreciate her work.
You asshole.
What do you think about this demon in particular in terms of like the Charmed universe and the way that we see demons like in the show and how they kind of develop going forward?
I mean, it's a little bit different, but I like the idea of having elemental demons, and we have seen other elemental demons. There's the Shocker demon, there's Shax, who is another elemental demon. I think it's cool that he's kind of like amorphous.
It does stand out like as a really different idea and concept than what we've seen before, and definitely whatever we see going forward. I think the most similar thing that we see again is the Shocker demon, like you mentioned.
I like the water demon when we like see it in the end. I think the idea, like you said, of like a water elemental demon is pretty cool. I think it sucks when like when it possesses people that jump out of the lake. I think that's really lame. But the concept of like just like this living sentient evil water is pretty scary.
Yeah, I talked about this on one of my podcast episodes about like if it was just like a raw like instinctual kind of demon, but you see that it is manipulative. It is planning, because it does like deceive and take different forms. So
it also does that really funny thing where it takes its like GoPro into the water with it and sticks it just right above.
there are a lot of like shots like that in this episode, like villain POV through the bushes under the lake kind of stuff.
It's very Friday the 13th sort of Camp Crystal Lake kind of vibes. Absolutely. Here
so I have compiled a bunch of this random facts about water monsters, and I think this it all kind of relates to our water demon here, maybe a little bit inspired by all of them. This one, so this is just, they're all ridiculous, I guess I should just say. So let's start with the most ridiculous in the Bible. This is Matthew chapter 8. There's a story where Jesus exorcises two possessed men, and he drives the demons from them into a herd of pigs. And so once these pigs are possessed, the pigs all run into the lake and drown. And then the nearby townspeople hear that Jesus did this, so they all come down to where he is, and they're like, hey, can you please not come back here? There are these water spirits called the Morgan who live, or the tales are from the British Isles. They're described like similarly to mermaids and sirens, and they do kind of the same shit and look the same. But they can cast spells, they kidnap and drown sailors, or sometimes they marry them. I'm not 100% sure if they're dead or not when they get married underwater. It's unclear. They also cause floods, and they put out golden treasures on the beach sometimes as a gift for humans. Or sometimes, so you'll go to the beach and they can kidnap you and play fuck, marry, kill. A Rasulka is a drowned Russian woman who seduces men with her voice and then drowns them. Or, if she feels like it, she might instead tickle them to death.
That sounds fucking horrible.
I used to have dreams about that.
What, you used to dream about being tickled?
I used to have dreams about being tickled to death.
By a drowned Russian woman?
No, tickled to death by the tickle monster.
Oh.
He would chase me around in like this graveyard, this gated graveyard, and he would like tickle me to death.
That's so cute.
What an adorable nightmare.
Yeah. Yeah.
The first nightmare I remember having was I was trapped in a mall with my family and it started to fill up with sand and we all died.
Oh, like in fucking Aladdin in the,
yeah, in the hourglass.
Yeah. So there is the Kappa from Japan. This is a water kami. Sometimes they're pranksters. But sometimes they're just like
commie bastards.
Real commie bastards. Yeah, exactly. They look like turtle people and they kidnap and drown humans and all sorts of other violent crimes. They also steal from you, from your person. They steal a little ball that contains your soul. Phoenix, where do you suppose they steal this ball from?
My asshole.
Your butthole. Ding, ding, ding. You are correct. But this is true story. So signs depicting pictures of kappas are placed around like lakes and other things like that to warn children of the dangers of being too close to the water.
Don't go swimming, kids. A monster will take a ball out of your butthole. I mean, hey, they should have used that in this episode. Honestly.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think the way to Phoenix's heart, at least, is through his butthole.
Actually, it's through my nipples. Thank you.
Ooh,
very much.
Girl, same.
Mine are wired too. Yeah, absolutely.
So, and then finally, I have the Kelpie from Scotland. It's a water spirit who drowns people, just like everybody else. It's the one that you often see as a horse. It's the water horse spirit that drowns people. But it can shapeshift. So sometimes it's a seductive woman who sings at you and gets you to drown. Sometimes it's a brutish man who just like grabs you and drowns you.
That would get me. That one would get me.
That would get you.
There's actually a Charmed book that I covered where there is Nixies, which were water spirits.
Ooh. Yes, they are another one.
Yeah, Nixies.
I stopped myself from doing too much research this time. Do you want to tell us about Nixies?
They lure people into the water. Males can assume many different shapes, and they including a human, fish, and a snake. Females bear the tail of a fish, so kind of like, I guess, a siren or a mermaid. They are portrayed as malicious in some stories, but harmless and friendly in others. So they have contrary mythology there, which is interesting. But yeah, people fall in love with them. And cool. Yeah.
I have a question to end the segment. Were either of you ever into Goosebumps books?
Yes.
Okay.
No, I was not.
Kevin, did you ever read The Curse of Camp Cold Lake?
This sounds familiar. What was it about?
This episode kind of reminded me of it a little bit. It's about a summer camp and the girl there is being haunted by a girl who drowned there and the ghost is trying to kill her.
Oh yeah, that sounds familiar. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And I don't know. It kind of reminded me of this episode. Drowned ghosts. They're just everywhere.
They're everywhere.
There's so much Japanese horror about drowned women ghosts. I couldn't even.
The only thing that would like really suck about drowning, apart from the whole dying thing, is getting my hair wet. So instead of doing anything like productive or helpful to remedy the situation, Sam decides to drug the sisters instead.
After explaining everything they need to do, then he drugs them to forget.
Go home. Forget you ever came here.
So I think something that we can put together about Sam is that he's not great at like creating a plan and following through unless it's abandoning his child.
I'm going to say he's not really great at anything. He's also not great at keeping his bitch alive. And he's not super great at preventing murders for several decades.
Right. They just keep happening. All he does is yell at the people.
I'm going to go ahead and say a little bit of a low blow. He's not great at housekeeping.
Yeah.
So the next morning, everyone has amnesia and Piper is fucking covered in poison ivy and itching herself. And it makes me really uncomfortable.
She watching is covered her
in red stuff.
She's covered in red rashes. Yeah. Like the rest of the episode is gross.
It is really nasty.
Like, why?
There are some shots that like just her arms are in and they're all fucking red. And I'm like, ew.
Like your chicken pox. Get out of here.
Fucking crab lady over here. Did you guys know that poison ivy does not grow in California?
No, that's pretty funny.
No, I did not.
It doesn't. But they do have poison oak. So they really should have just said poison oak, but I don't know, maybe they said poison ivy so more people would get it. I don't know. Also, do Phoebe's pajamas have Oreos on them?
I didn't look that close. That's funny.
I wondered too. I think they do.
It looks like they're blue pajamas with stars and moons, and then they have Oreos on little plates. Okay. And if that's the case, that is all my favorite shit.
That's amazing. Just give me some glasses of milk with it.
I think Phoebe wearing matching PJs kind of contradicts everything that we know about her so far. That bitch sleeps naked.
Absolutely.
You know she does.
Absolutely.
That's true. She runs through the house naked, as you'll recall.
Naked.
Ew! I hate it!
Oh, Dan shows up with a tray of cereal because he's a cereal killer by chomping on him. Leo interrupts with a magical cock blocking emergency. Piper leaves Dan frozen on the porch. She's like, I'm gonna freeze you and talk to Leo, who just orbed behind the door creepily. He's like, oh wait, that guy's there in the porch.
Oh wait, fuck, sorry guys, I gotta ditch my boyfriend.
She does that a lot this episode. She always just forgets people.
She does that a lot in general.
Really, all Dan does this whole episode, Dan shows up at her house like 4 times, and every time she tells him to go away.
Like, Dan, thank you so much for being here. Yeah. It means a lot that you reached out, but get out my pussy.
Yeah. I've got drama to deal with.
She really does. Like, there's some stuff going on, and he's just like, I really like Special K. I don't know what to tell you.
He maybe just needs to get a new move. Like, you show up at the door with cereal 3 times and it doesn't work. Like,
well, he does do a new move that I am pretty familiar with, Siren.
Showing up
he
at the back door.
Go to the back door.
With cereal?
With cereal.
Usually there's not any food involved. In fact, quite the opposite.
I actually put something interesting in someone's back door just the other day. It was a golden St. Patrick's Day coin.
I have a glow-in-the-dark Tony Stark butt plug, so there you go. It's amazing.
Oh? How do you know if it's glowing when it's in there?
I don't... Well, someone has to tell
you. You gotta be
I
pretty
guess.
Flexible.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think it does glow while it's in there?
Yeah, you just charge it with the sunshine or charge it with the light, and then it glows. I watched it.
Kevin's butthole is radiant like the sun,
it's
Phoenix.
Beautiful.
He doesn't have to check.
It's a nice blue gold. It's like an orby blue color.
Your butthole or the plug?
Well, the butt.
Your butthole
plug.
Is orbing?
Yeah. Oh. I'm all flustered in here now. I don't know. I brought it up. I blame myself.
Oh, come on. Like, neither of us have ever talked about your butthole before.
We are finding a lot of reasons in this episode to talk about buttholes.
We figure out that we have used memory dust again because Leo is like, come on, guys. We just did this roofie thing like 2 episodes ago.
This is what pisses me off, though. It's inconsistent. He's like, maybe he acts like he doesn't know what it is. He's like, maybe he got it from Patty. I'm like, no, are you kidding me? It's memory dust. You know what it is.
Because they still haven't decided it's just a white lighter thing yet. So they're having these dumb lines that don't do anything.
Listen, though, I want to put in like a formal request with the elders. If white lighters have access to drugs, I would really like one.
I knew I'd be like, fuck, heal my wounds. Give me my fix.
Roll me a blunt and get the fuck out of here.
If you expect me to vanquish these demons, I'm going to need you to tell me what the fuck's going on. I'm going to need you to heal this cut. And I'm going to need one bump of memory dust.
So they decide that Phoebe and Prue obviously need to go up back to the lake because we learn that because Mrs. Johnson died, no one shut down the camp. So all these little fucking kids are going to go make a mess of things and get themselves done drowned. Piper decides to stay at home, blowing off her early morning dick appointment to scratch her gross rash while Leo uses his light bulb hands to read. Why can he do that?
Why can he read the book with light bulb hands but not heal Piper's poison ivy?
Exactly. Why does she have to be itchy but you can read every single page in their goddamn book and not remember any right. of it?
I have a problem with this healing inconsistency too. I have a note about this when I get to it, but
it gets inconsistent so soon. How do the rules work here? And then in what is it? Awakened?
That's exactly. That's what I'm saying.
It's like 4 episodes from now.
I know. What?
They don't know what they're doing. They haven't gotten it figured out.
The rules are whatever we want to happen.
Pepper goes to do her laundry because there is a super helpful thing to be doing right now and finds the love letters from Patty that Sam made her forget about. She's like, oh yeah, these thingies. And I love that the laundry is where it's supposed to be. Because I read so many of these novels, and so many of the novels put the laundry in the basement. I'm like, no! The Woogeyman is in the basement!
No. Like, we can't face the woogie man no. every time we do laundry.
I was so mad that
I can't handle that.
That's not where the laundry is.
That is not where the laundry is. That is a really annoying inconsistency.
I'm like, come on, people.
The other thing that really bothers me is like whether or not their coat closet is a bathroom. Yeah.
And that depends on which season you're watching.
And you know I'm always mad about whether or not they have air conditioning.
Drama. Talent. Suffering. This is a dramatic reenactment, and we are sorry. What's this? Leo?
God, bitch, what?
I must have stolen these letters from Sam and forgot because of the angel roofies.
Dear Sam, where are you? It's been 2 weeks since I was last dicked down, and I wonder, are you all right? Do they have you off fucking someone else? And I wonder when they will send you back to San Francisco, to my vagina.
Is this
a love letter?
Sam, yes, you were clear. My eyes are open to the risks, but no one fucks me like you do. No one can. What I wouldn't do for what other people consider ordinary, a conversation that gets finished, a night spent uninterrupted, a night of you railing me from behind.
It's like I could have written these.
I wish you had.
You can't be with me up at the lake. You know I'd never face this demon if I wasn't so exhausted with life after having all these kids. Even if I do kill the thing, I'll still have to go home and make those little bitches dinner. Well, the first three anyway.
Piper, don't read this one.
Thank God that's over. While this is happening, while Piper and Leo are reading Patty and Sam's love letters, it's really beautiful and endearing, and it parallels their relationship, which I think is really compelling and adds another layer to this idea in this episode that the girls really are following in their mother's footsteps in a lot of ways, in their own ways. They're all sort of exhibiting different parts of her that I think is just, I think it makes this whole episode that much more well done.
It's so good. And like Patty's letters are so like eloquent, and then having the parallels and just the what wetness in their eyes, it's acted super well and super like subtly, but so powerful.
That's a really good word for this scene. Super subtle. Yeah. Everything is so muted. Yeah.
The main statement I would make about all the emotions in this episode is this is just like, it's all well done. You like, I feel every moment of it. Like I'm right there with them. I think that's how good the acting is in this one.
All while this is happening, Phoebe and Prue have been doing their Scooby-Doo detective thing up at the camp, at this Christmas summer camp. And they've sort of had this whole thing. Prue and Sam have this really powerful scene together while Phoebe is wrangling all of the children into where they are. They're in one of the cabins somewhere, but gosh, the way that Shannon Doherty and whoever plays Sam, I don't know his name.
Scott Jake.
The way that they riff off of each other, really wonderful. I think that's this scene between those two is really well done.
Oh my gosh. It's so fucking beautiful. I love this because there's like, and they don't say it, but there's this underlying shared grief over the person they lost. Same person, but different ways. And I think this is the, you know, this is the reason Prue stepped up. But I, you know, if we know that he feels guilt because he failed as a white letter, I would argue that when Prue dies, Leo feels the same way. He feels this guilt over failing as a white letter. And
oh, wow.
Yeah. And I think, you know, that's why it's like another kind of parallel between him and Sam. Oh,
hearing you say that, they should have done more with that. What a great arc for Leo in season 4. Yeah.
Right. Which is why I addressed that in my musical.
The scene is really good. I think the resolution is kind of funny because Prue is just sort of like, so if you ever want to get over how you let my mom die, you're going to need to help us. And Sam is like, okay, let me get this bag of drugs from the filing cabinet.
And it's weird that he was like suspiciously sharpening an axe.
Right? What was the fuck was that about?
I don't know.
What was that about?
Because
why?
Because he's going to use an axe to cut the water demon.
The campers hate Phoebe, but Prue walks in and tells them to shut the fuck up. Sam and Phoebe drug a bunch of kids while Prue deals with the work drama. She's like, water bad, land good.
Do you think that these kids have hydrophobia like for life?
I know, right? After like, this. How long is this going?
I think these kids are going to be scared of water for the rest of their life. They're going to have nightmares about Phoebe, just like Prue's assistant does.
This next scene where Prue is on the phone with Jack and Mr. Fujimoto, Jack like tries to hijack this call by speaking Japanese. And I was really curious if it was real Japanese, right? If he was actually speaking Japanese. And I had my partner, who is fluent in Japanese, watch this part of the episode with me. And he was like, his pronunciation is so bad, I can't understand anything he's saying. So I now have this headcanon of Jack being on this call and Mr. Fujimoto just being like,
huh?
Okay, thank you. Piper and Leo orb up to Christmas summer camp to let the slut out of the bag. And then the sisters and Sam try to just plan out exactly what they're gonna do. This is my favorite part of the episode, this like dynamic here that's going on.
This is good. This is the first time that one of the sisters ever orbs, or anybody other than Leo orbs, I think. Piper acts like it like fucks her up, like she got to sit down.
How do you feel about that continuity wise? It like making you feel like you're gonna shit yourself or whatever.
Oh, I mean, maybe I feel like I think of it like if you're on a roller coaster, you get the G force.
Oh yeah,
yeah, and so you're probably like almost like a slight kind of a queasiness, but not quite sure where.
I think so. It makes sense, actually. I think I like it just because like the power to teleport anywhere all the time is like so powerful. Like, let's give it a little bit of a drawback or something, you know?
Sure. Right, because if you see too when in season 6 when Chris orbs Victor around, Victor's like, whoa.
Oh, that's true. No. That does happen. Yeah. I have feelings about Alyssa Milano right now, but she is fucking amazing in this scene. They realize that in order to avenge their mother's death, Phoebe is going to have to relive her last moments. The way that Alyssa sobs after she has her premonition is just
heart-wrenching.
It really is.
Yeah, this is peak Phoebe. And really, she didn't have as much to do in this episode as the other two did, but this scene is fantastic. I mean, mm-hmm. She's the key to everything here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why they don't use her power this way more, to like touch something and see the past, because that's honestly, there's so much storytelling potential there beyond like seeing the future, I guess. Like just with those two things, could have done so much with her, but instead they just like quit using her powers.
And interesting, like we see how her power in later seasons goes into astral premonition mode, which astral premonition is when you start to actually like almost feel, you get damaged, you start to feel the things in the premonition. And the way that she came out of it, where she was almost kind of choking and like coughing, almost like she was like living that moment in real time, I think it was like a subtle astral premonition.
Oh, that's such a good point. Yeah, she really like, she was feeling it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Psychic ability, it really does like, it has that kind of potential sometimes. And I think that that's a really cool sort of like real witchcraft way to interweave it.
And see, this is why I like what's going on with Phoebe's powers right now, because they're useful to the story, but there's also like a cost to it. Like there's a price that she has to pay to do this. And I find this very compelling because it gives her the opportunity to be brave. However, right before this, after Piper collapses on that chair, the whole time they're talking about what they're going to do, like sometimes Piper is holding Phoebe's hands and sometimes her hand is on her knee and it goes back and forth the entire time.
I did notice that. After you pointed that out to me, I noticed that a lot.
I think there's another one like near the end, like when they're fighting the demon, where like Prue's hair is wet in some shots and then it's not wet in other shots.
Yes, I was gonna say
oh
that
my
one
God.
Too.
That one is infuriating.
Yeah, that one's not great.
But this is a really intense moment. It's a really intense moment. Phoebe, in her premonition, sees that Patty was going to jumpstart this demon with some jumper cables, basically electrify the crap out of it, because Piper explains to us that electricity is the only thing that separates water particles.
Thanks for the science lesson, Pipes.
I don't know if that's true.
I really thought about researching like electricity and water, and then I was like, oh, fine. I don't want to.
I was like, no, it's fine.
it's probably fine. Fantasy rules. Water's weak against lightning. I don't know.
Yeah. Pokemon.
Exactly. It makes sense in Pokemon. So I'm here for it.
But Phoebe, in being able to see her mom's plan, also has to feel her death. She sees and feels the water demon enter her mother and... Drown her from the inside, and it's awful. And we realize... through doing this, that Prue is going to have to go to the end of the dock.
Because Piper's freezing power doesn't do shit.
Does not work on the demon, for some reason.
Which doesn't make any sense. Like, water don't freeze.
Water don't freeze. I don't know.
Is that one of the songs in your show?
No, that was just Madonna. It should be. I don't know. Yeah, right.
So Prue has to be the one to kill the jacuzzi demon. Because of course she does.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, when they're about to go and finally like kill the demon like they've been talking about this whole time, Phoebe says, just focus on the demon. That's what this is about. As if Prue has not been saying that shit to her this whole time. And then at the very end, she's like, hey, Prue, take your own advice that I told you was wrong.
Right.
Now go get him without me. I'll be here.
Well, I think Prue has actually been very emotional this whole time and just putting on a brave face.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, totally.
A very Prue thing to do, you know?
Yeah, I think that she's not really, I mean, we can see it in her face, right? She's not as cold about this as she's pretending to be. And I think Phoebe knows that, right? She's put two and two together after realizing that Prue couldn't go onto the dock, right? After that happened, she realized that this is a deeper issue. And it speaks to Phoebe's emotional intelligence in the first two seasons. I think that she's very in touch with what other people are feeling,
mm-hmm.
which maybe is foreshadowing for the fact that she becomes a fucking empath later.
Right.
And yet is more of one now than she will be then.
Yes. How do we feel about this? How do we feel about Prue's journey taking that long walk to the end of the dock?
I think that while she does that, Leo asks Sam if it's worth it to give up his wings for witch coochie.
How does it feel to be mortal? It's like, why? Like, no reason.
Why would you want to know? And Leo's like, because I want to fuck Piper, obviously. Like, we've been alone together this whole time.
I start to feel really heavy emotions when Prue's walking down the dock and, like, talking to the demon about, like, what it took away from her.
Yeah, confronting the demon with her pain. Yeah, love that.
It's, yeah, it's so hard. But, yeah, it's, if anyone, she's the one that would, I mean, because... And she really doesn't face it. She's still kind of going through the motions. She's trying. But like we see in season three, it's still something that weighs on her. It's something that's long going. It's not going to go away that easy.
Killing the demon doesn't bring her mom back.
Right.
You know?
And the stages of grief are cyclical, too.
Exactly.
I think it's got an impact seeing her walk on the dock just because we've seen her like fail to do so twice before.
Mm-hmm.
So like this is the time she's like finally screwed up her courage to do it.
It's like it's now or never.
And I guess I think the episode really does do such a great job crafting together the intensity of it. She's facing the thing that killed her mother that she watched happen. Like, she knows mm-hmm. she could die out there.
Right.
I mean, I guess they always know they could die, but this one just feels bigger.
It hits a little differently.
Yeah.
It does. Yeah, because it did kill someone that they loved, right? So it obviously has a different impact.
And it goes back to her fears of history repeating itself. It's all the elements there. Water elements.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. yeah.
I like that each of the sisters gets to connect to their mother in a different way in this episode. Mm-hmm. Phoebe's is the worst. She has a shit time with it. But like, I think the emotional journey that we see really is, I mean, you mentioned the stages of grief, Siren. I think that we get to see each of the sisters kind of in those different phases mm-hmm. through their connection to their mom mm-hmm. in this episode.
And like, even in the beginning where they say, you know, we see a little of her in all of us. I mean, that was a part of a deflection mechanism that Prue was doing, but it's true. There is elements of their mom in all of them, and they relate to whatever one is strongest at this moment.
It does, like, I don't know. It's something that I have taken heart in having lost my parents, is that, like, sometimes the parts of them that you want to remember, that you want to hold on to, can become a part of you, and you can embody them and keep them alive and feel close to them that way. That's something that, you know, makes me feel better when I'm grieving all the time.
Final showdown.
It's the final showdown.
I can just say anything and get you guys to think.
Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah.
It's like a jukebox over here, for sure.
Prue and Sam go to the end of the dock, but they don't see the jacuzzi demon just letting out a bunch of farts behind them, like bubbling up the water.
Somebody's gassy in the bathtub.
Yeah.
Oh, that might have been the episode title.
Please no. There will be no episode titles with the word gassy in them. I object.
Oh my gosh.
Piper and Phoebe both see this and take off running like a couple of dumb asses. And then Leo also does it. And so Piper turns around and freezes him so he won't be annoying and in the way.
Like Sam was.
Yeah.
Like Sam was. And it's the exact same situation. It's so, like, to see it all happen, like, after having Phoebe's vision, to see it all immediately happen like that is really, like, it does give you a sense of the stakes.
Yeah.
It makes you,
because,
like,
it makes you think, like, if she died last time this happened, Prue could die this time, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And history repeating itself has been, like, the theme we've been talking about through the whole episode. So to have it actually happen.
But
Sam jumps in the way, and, oh, I guess I should. The jacuzzi demon comes about on the water like a big fucking glob of jello.
And then you finally get to see it. How do you guys finally get to see feel it. About the way the water demon looked?
For the time, I think it looks fine.
Yeah, it's not offensive at all.
No.
It doesn't match up to, like, what we could achieve now. Like, I just finished watching the new Avatar live action. So, like, by comparison, not so much. But it doesn't look bad. And I remember when it first came on and I first saw it, I remember being impressed with it.
I think it looks great.
Yeah.
But Sam jumps in the way and it enters him. Oh yeah.
Ooh. Back to buttholes.
Right.
It enters him and he decides to pick up these jumper cables and he's like, all right.
The jumper cables that Prue's one job was to hold the jumper cables, and the second the demon came out the water, she dropped them.
He picks up the jumper cables and he's like, kill me, bitch. And
but it's fine because Prue's job is not to kill the water demon, it's to kill Sam.
It is to kill Sam. She uses her telekinesis for some reason.
With her eyes. She doesn't use her hands.
She doesn't use her hands? No. I thought she does a little, like, whoop.
No, not she just kind of looks at it. Yeah. She doesn't really squint either, but this is like another eye kind of moment.
Yeah, it's like, it's a big deal. Why didn't she just use her hand, though?
I don't know.
I mean, she was right there. She could have just turned it right on.
I don't know.
I think maybe because, like, there was a lot going on with that shot. Maybe just getting the interaction didn't work. Because, like, Prue is standing there in the same shot where, like, Sam is interacting with the water demon and getting possessed by the water demon, and Prue's just, like, standing there trying to make it look real. It's a lot going on.
It kind of just cuts from her looking at it to the thing going on, so they don't really get a chance to really show her power being used, but
that's fair.
They were both trying to interact with this, like, invisible tidal wave that wasn't really there.
That is a fair point. Mm-hmm. That's a fair point.
And then Patty's spirit appears and they wisp off to a dead adulterous paradise together. Like, she looks at him, he appears, like, oh, let's hold hands. Let's walk up. And which is interesting because they're only there for the audience. None of our characters actually see them.
Oh, yeah, that's true. They don't know what's going on in the spirit.
Although later, are you about to make the same point as me? Later in season 5, Piper says that they all saw it.
Oh, right. Right. So it's like...
In Sam I Am, is that what it's called? Did we talk about how Leo couldn't heal Sam because he wasn't meant to? The elders would prefer that Sam die.
Right. Yes. No. Bring that up. Bullshit white letter rules again.
Absolutely.
I hate this idea that elders can control when and when you can't heal somebody. Like, they can put rules on you, but you should still have the option to be like, nope, I'm going to break that rule or whatever. Because they just talked about breaking rules with the Orbeen. Why can't you do the same thing with the healing?
It's like they don't know how to deal with Leo's healing powers sometimes. Like, if they want someone to die for the story, but they want Leo in the scene, they got to say some bullshit to make it make sense.
Like, I'm fine with him dying, but they needed a better reason. This was not.
And Leo could have just been frozen the whole time, you know?
That's true.
Something.
And Piper was like, oh, shit, it's my fault he died.
Oh, shit, Leo could have healed you, but I froze him. Sorry.
Yeah, because if they can really say, like, oh... The elders have to, like, turn on the switch to let me heal. Then that makes sense because he just does it with under their radar in Awakened, like you said.
All the time.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's a totally fair point. It doesn't make any fucking sense. The white lighter thing, we've said this already on the show, but the white lighter thing will never make sense. Their rules, their mythos, it never gets worked out.
The rules are whatever we need.
Yes. Whatever fits in this episode is what we will do.
Whatever will help us make that one scene we wrote that we like.
So Prue fucking finally goes back to her work. Goes to... So Prue fucking finally goes back to work to do her job.
And what is she wearing? Bra out.
She's like fucking right. All the time. Just nothing. Just like titties.
Just tits out.
Just tits out. And like, Jack has done everything for her. Everything. It's all done. And mm-hmm. she just has to sign her fucking name. Yeah. And he says yes to a date with her. What?
Well, that's all he's wanted this whole time. Maybe if I do her job for her and impress her with some bad Japanese,
she'll get some dude.
Is it going to be nasty or fruitful?
Oh my God.
The word fruitful is not sexy to me in any way. I'm like, blessed be the fruit. May the Lord open.
Yeah.
Fruitful.
Fruit of the womb. Fruit of my loins.
Stop whispering that in my ear now. Thank you.
I'll take some fruit of your loins, Kevin. So I'm so sorry.
Well, this is kind of stupid, though, right? So, like, okay, Prue's upset about her mom died, you know, because that sucked. And then at one point she says, I'm just like my mom, no successful relationship with guys. Like, they added that in there to make it a through line, I guess. And then we learn that, like, oh, actually, mom cheated on dad with this... crazy man. So I guess in order not to be like my mom, I'll kill the demon and go out with this asshole.
Exactly.
Got it all figured out.
So Piper and Phoebe are hanging out in the manor and Leah orbs in. Piper's like, hey, I'm not gonna tell you Leah's there, but hey, do you want some tea? She's like, yeah, sure. Let's walk into the kitchen. I'll go make some tea. And then she's like, "Hey, you want some tea?"
I don't get it.
I don't know. I don't want you to know that I have to talk to Leo. But yeah, she's like, "Leo, want some tea?" But then we get this talking. It's heartbreaking.
This scene is a punch in the face.
It really is.
After everything else, they're like, by the way, love is hard.
It's like, I can't stop loving you. And so working with you is going to be very difficult. I think I should stop coming around.
Gee, I wonder where I got the idea that relationships should be full of hard decisions.
Yeah, right.
So yeah. Piper and Leo break up officially. And then 2 seconds later, Dan is at the back door. Emotional whiplash.
With his Fruit Loops.
Yeah, it's a lot. Dan is a clingy bitch in this episode. Piper's got some shit going on.
All he wants to do is have breakfast.
He can do that by himself.
I think that Dan is done doing Fruit Loops by himself, and he really wants in Piper's Fruit Loops.
When Leo orbs out, there is this like pain in his voice that is so heartbreaking to me.
I know.
I don't think Brian Krause is a very good actor all the time, but in this moment,
there are times where it's not. This one,
it's good. When he gets the,
this whole episode,
when he gets the opportunity to do something subtle and emotional, he really lands it. It's those like bigger things that he really has like kind of a struggle with.
Right.
And this was just perfect. The both of them were perfect in this scene.
There was this moment at the end where we take a second to see them exchange like pained looks with each other and look away. And that like really drove it home for me. Because like then after that is when he just leaves.
And she says something like, I don't want to have to say goodbye. He's like, then don't. And then he just orbs.
Oh,
like,
and the episode ends with Piper leaving with Dan, and Phoebe never gets her fucking tea.
Right.
No, she's just sitting there scrapbooking, like, what the hell?
I swear to God, if someone was ever like, hey, you want some tea? And they just fucking vanished.
Disappeared.
I'd be so mad. Like, where is my Countess Grey? Give it to me.
I was thinking about how normally when one of them disappears with no notice, they're all like, call Daryl. They've been abducted by a demon.
So do we have any final thoughts about this episode? How's everyone feel?
Yeah, I was a wreck. I was crying a lot. It's beautiful. The inconsistencies still bother me with things, but it's Charmed. I'll live.
It is Charmed. I cried quite a few times watching this episode.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so good.
I don't. So my mom is still alive. So I lack this experience that the two of you have. Was there anything about the episode that you found like particularly moving or valuable from that perspective?
You know, it's that I was actually hit by that letter. The one where it says, where she says, I'm going to have to fight this demon. I should be home in time to, you know, see my kids. That really hit me a lot because it's like she, you know, you can't plan for this stuff and she didn't get a chance to come home. You know? Yeah, that really, I don't know. That one got me a lot.
Oh, sweetie.
For me, the letters too, for sure. And it was honestly because of the handwriting. Some of the things that my mother wrote down are the only things that I still have of hers. Things like recipes and one of her old journals. So seeing this like imprint that she left, things that I carry with me to this day that I have positive feelings about, that, yeah, that really hit me right in the feels. So I think the letters for sure. And also just like Prue's trepidation and fear of walking in her footsteps was also something that I really related to.
Well, I appreciate you both sharing that. Kevin, I'm sorry we made you cry.
I'm sorry we made you cry.
Yeah. It's okay.
We love you so much here. I hope you know that. Like, you are just one of our favorite people in the whole world. It hurts us to see you hurt. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's okay. Thank you.
Safe space here.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Not to put a damper on the touching moment, but I also do love it when cute boys cry. Oh, honey, let me comfort you.
We love you very much. I know you have another podcast to get to, so why don't you let us know where the people can find you? Let us know what you're doing these days.
I have to get my ranking. I need to get my ranking.
Oh, how would you rate this episode, Kevin?
Okay, it's a point scale system. Okay. But I give it 2 Jason Voorhees murders.
Solid.
3 compulsive liar Prues. 2 hard wet docs. And and then 1 broken heart, giving it an 8 out of 10. Oh, so
I love that. I miss doing ratings. Siren, let's do that again.
Okay, give me a shit one while I think of a good one.
If I had to rate this episode, I would rate it 2 very well hydrated zombies and some heartache that I don't know if I will ever recover from, giving it also an 8 out of 10.
If I had to rate this episode, I would give it 1 blonde twink who does all my work for me and throws his legs up in the air with basketball shorts.
We're expecting to see a cosplay of that, Kevin, just so you know.
Okay.
Can do.
Frost the tips. There you go.
I'll be proof for that. Let me boss you around a little bit.
Okay, beautiful. Where can the people find you?
Yeah, you can follow my personal Instagram, KJEEZY87, or on the podcast, Words of the Witches, or Solving for X.
You can follow me at whatever the fuck my handle is on Instagram. And if you're interested in booking any witchy or psychic services with me through my work or personally, send me an email at phoenix.a.lightwood@gmail.com.
You can follow Witch Bitches Review across the board at WBRcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And if you'd like to donate to our Buy Me a Coffee, you can get yourself a producer credit on the next episode. What else am I supposed to say? Please send us all your emails to witchbereview@gmail.com. If you want to say something about the episode, ask us a question, or suggest something you'd like us to talk about next. All right, all you hard, wet docs.
Until next time, keep on witching
and bitching.
Bye.
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 A memorial prayer.
Place a photo of your lost loved one and any other memorabilia upon your altar. Light a stick of sandalwood incense and indulge in a glass of wine or cider. Intone the following.
Dearest one, I call to you. I honor and remember you. In this moment, you are not gone. Feel my love in the world beyond.
Are you a good witch or a bad witch?